Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is a glorious Tuesday in good old Lincoln, Nebraska. Jake, I've been gone for 2 whole weeks. How in the world did you manage to live your life and or survive without me? Because I barely survived without you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've been twiddling my thumbs. I've been crying at night. But finally, you have come back and returned, and we're back to roll here.
Oh, I appreciate that there's hopefully more sarcasm than truth in that. But if there is some truth, that's okay as well. All right. Welcome into Hour 1 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. This first hour of this Adam Carriker Show is brought to you by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. All right, I'm going to switch headphones because it's going from left to right to in to out, and it's driving me nuts. So give me one second here.
Fair enough.
All right. Can you turn these ones on for me? See if these are working just a little bit better. All right, we'll work through it. We can work through it through the next commercial break as well. All right, lot of hype, lots of excitement, lot of Kool-Aid. If I need to grab a different set of headphones, just let me know. I'll really know when you start talking as well because I'm so loud I don't even need headphones to hear myself. Should I switch again? Try this here right here. All right, give us uno segundo. We're going to try another pair of headphones here. All right. Mic check. Yes, that is better. This is why I missed you so much. When I needed headphones fixed at home, I was not very good at it, Jake. So I appreciate you very much. All right, this show, as you can imagine, loaded show, lots to talk about. I've been sitting around twiddling my thumbs, missing Jake as well. From time to time, we went on vacation. From time to time, I take notes and pay attention to what's going on in Huskerland. A lot of hype, a lot of excitement. It's growing. The Kool-Aid is flowing. Dare I say, Jake. So I saw something online, and it was Nebraska will be this year's Indiana. Hence the headline of the show today. I was like, wow, I literally just saw it like maybe this morning. And it was like a 30-second clip. Basically, and my apologies, I just saw the clip. I moved on. When I sent you the headline, as I always do for the show, I was like, you know what? I'm going to come back to that. Really, what they attributed it to, they didn't talk about Raiola. They didn't talk about the receivers or the improved offensive line or the defense. They didn't talk about any of that. It was 30-second clip, so short. They basically just said they have Indiana's schedule. They wanted to attribute the entire thing to Indiana's schedule. Our schedule this year being ranked 18th out of 18 Big Ten schedules when it comes to strength of schedule difficulty by multiple outlets. But I want to dive into more than that because we heard the whole schedule spiel last year. All right. So is there more to it than just, oh, we're not playing that tough of a schedule? Because if that's all there is to it, I kind of don't want to hear it. Because we heard it last year. These teams change so much from year to year. You really don't know who you're going to play sometimes, especially when you get to a Power Four conference team. How do we know Maryland isn't this year's Indiana? Because nobody thought last year's Indiana was going to be last year's Indiana. So you never know truly who you're going to play. Now, we don't have Ohio State. We don't have Oregon. Like, things like that kind of stand out. But Illinois was better than people thought last year. And I pointed this out before. Iowa, Wisconsin, by the time we played it, we're not the same. So is there more to it beyond just the schedule? Because if it's just the schedule, I'm not uber interested in that. We've heard it before. You don't know what teams are really going to look like until you face them. Okay. Is there more to it than just the schedule? Dare I say there is. There's pros. Dare I say cons. There's both sides to this. There was something that I saw, I think, 2 days ago that I knew we were young. I didn't realize how young we were. So while I feel the quarterback position is going to be upgraded this year over last year, because Dylan's a year more experienced, he's going to be better. That's the idea. That's the plan. Wide receivers, the offensive line. Okay, I'm going to ask this question real quick. Rocco Spindler, Joe Moorhead Award. He thinks they're that good. He played on a really good line last year at Notre Dame. He has said this line is more talented. I was not in that Notre Dame offensive line room last year, so I can't speak to it. I can speak to what I saw on film, what I watched. My question for you right out the gate, when you hear something like that, it's confidence. Like Ja'Cory Barney saying he's going to lead the nation in punt and kick returns. Love that. Want to hear all that. I don't want to hear the opposite. Okay. There's a little bit of you want to see it on the field. My question right out the gate for you, Jake, and I want to know the fine folks at home. All right, let us know your thoughts, reactions. When you heard that, now again, I haven't had a show for 2 weeks. This was about a week or two ago when Rocco said this, which is why I'm addressing it now. Let us know on the text line your thoughts about Nebraska's offensive line possibly being in the conversation for the Joe Moorhead Award. For those who don't know, that's the best offensive line in the country award, basically. Michigan won it 2 years in a row. Who won it last year? I know who it was. Look that up real quick. Because it wasn't Michigan, but it was another really good offensive line. I want to say Washington. I could be wrong on that. Okay. Jake's going to look that up real quick. What is that number, though, Jake? The text line, the one that never changes, but I constantly ask about?
402-464-5685. And I believe that Army won the 2024 Joe Moore.
Was it Army?
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
All right. I was way off on that. Not even the correct side of the country. They're complete wrong coast. West Point versus Seattle. But that's all right. Because Washington did have a good offensive line last year. When you heard that, when you hear that, what do you think? What's your reaction to something like that? Because I want to get into more than just the schedule. How good is the team? Because when you say it's about the schedule, you're telling me, I don't know about the team. I'm just hoping they don't play great competition. And that's why I think they're going to have more wins. I want to hear about the team itself. What was your thought when you heard that particular comment? And a lot of the confident statements that have been made so far throughout camp. But what was your thoughts when you heard Rocco say that?
Well, it's been a long time since Nebraska's had an offensive line really in that conversation. So, you know, it is, I'm with you. I'm kind of like, wait to see this. It's good that he says it, right? As an outsider coming in that was with a very good line last season and can identify where this talent is. Now, since then, we've heard from Coach Rhule and he's kind of talking about still tackle spots left up in the air. And so you kind of throw it all in there. And it's not that you don't have, you know, some good tackles out there competing for time. But I think if you're up there for the best offensive line of the year, you probably have most of those starting spots kind of figured out. I think it could be Nebraska could take a reasonable step forward in the offensive line, and that could help them win a bunch of games without necessarily being the best offensive line in the country. And that's probably where my expectation or hope is more so than them literally being the best offensive line in the country. But, you know, you like a guy coming in and trying to maybe speak it into existence, use his veteran experience there and kind of turn that into leadership and try to get this line going and get the camaraderie going and get the belief that they can be that. Because whether or not they actually become the best offensive line, they at least need the belief that they can compete for it. The offensive line for Nebraska for years too has been, I think, pretty solid about 9 or 10 games. And when you play those tough teams with, you know, superior athleticism, that's where it gets a little bit more difficult. And again, when they're still kind of trying to figure out tackles right now, I think that could still be a problem against some of the better defenses.
You make a great point because I've talked about this ad nauseum on multiple shows for years. So I'm going to go through it quickly. We've had the more talented team a lot of times, especially when it was the Big Ten West. Way more often than not, we had the most talented roster. We'd have the fourth most talented roster in the Big Ten. 1, 2, and 3 usually went to teams in the East, known as Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Then we were fourth, which meant we had the most talented roster in the West. Obviously, that didn't pan out. A lot of times, it was because we lost games in the trenches. So, number one, if you're the more talented team going in, that doesn't mean you're going to win. It means you should have a talent and athleticism and maybe a speed advantage, but another team might be able to beat you if they're better than you in the trenches, which is what happened too often, okay? But of the 12 games we're going to play this year, our talent composite ranking is going to be better than 9 of the 12 opponents. So if we want to secure the wins, health plays a factor, coaching plays a factor, All right. The ball bouncing funny plays a factor. I don't want to hear a whole lot about refs calls and things of that nature. We'll wait till the games happen. Then we'll whine and complain about that. Is that fair, Jake?
That's fair.
But a lot of times, like, you hear about these position players and the skill players and things of that nature. They're obviously very important. Games are won and lost in the trenches. They are, way more often than not. Way more often. It's not 7-on-7 for a reason. If you listen to Dayton Raiola, an interview he did, I want to say way back early June, he talked about how he's not a big fan of 7-on-7 simply because it's not real 11-on-11 football. Not knocking it, but simply saying it's different because those linemen make a gigantic impact. So you want to solidify beating teams that you should beat. You start by winning the game up front. Then you want to beat teams that you're going to be an underdog to. You start by winning the battle in the trenches. And then you make little adjustments throughout the game. Maybe you come in with a good game plan. Maybe you have a guy who steps up here or there. It's weird that this is the play that pops into my head, but the Corey Dixon punt return versus Florida State. Okay. It was called back. 94 Orange Bowl, 93 National Championship game. It was called back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
But it sticks out to me because he was the fastest guy on Nebraska's roster. And putting the correct guys in the correct spots and then making big-time plays and big-time games, that matters as much or more than anything as well. But a lot of times it starts up front. When you look at what Rocco said, the first thing that caught my eye months ago when he said it is this offensive line room is more talented than what they had at Notre Dame. It's not a shot at Notre Dame because he immediately complimented the good offensive line they had there. The strength of Notre Dame's team last year was the run game. They have two monsters at running back. They had a really good offensive line. They did a lot of other things really, really well. Obviously, they made the national championship game. They're doing some things right. Hey, Marcus Freeman has built a culture, physical culture, run the ball, smash mouth defense. Like, he's doing a lot of things right there at Notre Dame, obviously. They played Ohio State closer than anybody played Ohio State during the entire college football playoffs. It came really down to that last one-on-one sideline throw to the best wide receiver in America, Jeremiah Smith. So, for me, that caught my attention because what he's saying, yeah, we were really good last year at Notre Dame. The ceiling may even be higher at Nebraska. Someone might say, well, based on recent history, the floor might be lower. Well, that's fair. Because we don't know yet. We haven't played any games. We haven't played anyone else yet. So we'll see what happens. But the ceiling is higher. So that caught my eye. He didn't say we were better. He said that there's more talent, so the ceiling is higher. I think most people expect Nebraska's offensive line to just continue to improve and get better and better. Folks I've talked to that watch practice say the offensive line looks really good. Now you get to those games where maybe you're an underdog. That's where the play in the trenches can make an impact, can make a difference. Maybe you're able to create more turnovers. Maybe you can get a couple of more sacks, put the opponent in third and long situations. Like third and 13 versus third and 5 is a ginormous difference. That seems obvious, but I think sometimes it gets overlooked. Like third down is known as the money down for a reason. Well, that's set up by being able to run the ball on first and or second down as well, which can then set up your play action pass or not, which then makes you unpredictable versus predictable, which will lead to third and long versus third and medium versus third and short type situations. And it all starts up front. It starts up front on the defensive line as well. Have we gotten any responses on the text line per our question earlier?
Well, one I'd raised said, can I pre-complain about the refs in the Michigan game already?
We'll allow it. We'll allow pre-complaining. Just pre-complain. But are we still allowed to post-complain if we pre-complain? What are the rules and boundaries and limitations on this here, Jake? Anyone else?
Yeah, also 9831 says, being objective, when I first heard it, the Rocco Spindler comment, he said, I honestly thought of James Williams' comment about Florida State versus Nebraska's defensive line room. So maybe some of the competition they're playing out there. He said, second thought was Holgerson last fall saying O-line was blocking, but the running backs were not hitting the holes and running well. He also said, I miss listening to Adam's thoughts on Husker sports the last couple of weeks. Go Big Red.
Hey, I appreciate the kind words. You're obviously very highly intelligent. It's interesting because I'm sure you've seen this too. Tony White flat out said some players down at Florida State got to pick it up. He used more colorful language. All right. But he, I don't remember him ever saying that at Nebraska. Now, maybe, I mean, you listen to a Dana Holgorsen press conference, and I don't feel like Rule puts any constraints on him. I was going to say, maybe Rule's like, do or don't say certain things. I don't know. But you listen to Holgorsen, I don't think there's any constraints there. So there's obviously something he's not pleased about at Florida State. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to win games. They were 1-10 versus Power 4 teams last year. They are a better roster than 1-10, but they were not a better team. So James Williams could, in his mind, be honestly like, hey, there is more talent here. Maybe that's what he believes. That's okay. That's his new team. That's totally cool with me. But does that equate to wins or not? It's the same thing I'm saying about our offensive line. There's talent. I've been saying for years there's talent on this offensive line. Those dudes are ginormous. They're huge. I mean, we're talking like 6'9", 6'10", when you're looking at guys like Prochazka and Corcoran. I'm a big dude. I walk out there amongst the offensive line, and I feel small. I'll never forget talking to Grant Wistrom, January or February. He said the same thing. Like, the ability to play well is there. But it's kind of like at FSU with Tony White right now. He's like, hey, the ability's there. Are we going to do it? Now we're going to move on from FSU. I just thought that was interesting because I never once heard him say that while he was here at Nebraska. The ability to play well is there. They've looked good in practice by all reports, by all eyewitness accounts. How does that translate to the game? Hopefully it translates to the game. As far as the Joe Moorhead Award and Rocco saying that, here's what I would say. And people have told me they love the WWE talk. Some people have told me when we start talking WWE, they tune out. Not a large amount of people. I think it's really two. Okay. But I'm going to go to Stone Cold for a moment because he said, because he was a mid-carder, which meant he was in the middle of the pack. He felt like he couldn't break through, which really, really made him mad, by the way. But he said, if you're not trying to become the champion, you're in the wrong business. And if that's not your attitude and that's not your mentality and you don't believe you can get there, what are you doing? You look at Stone Cold Steve Austin back then, there were some guys taking some things that would help you look bigger than you otherwise would. I'll put it that way. And Vince McMahon loves the bodybuilder image. I do too. Two of my favorite wrestlers are The Warrior and Goldberg. So I'm in that same mindset. You look at Stone Cold. I mean, he's big. He's jacked. He played some college football down, I think, North Texas or something like that. But he's like 6'2", 250. Goldberg was like 300 and jacked. I remember they did a podcast together about, it might have been 10 years ago. Goldberg basically, because he would go to the airport, and sometimes he would get mistaken for Stone Cold. Stone Cold would go to the airport back in the 90s. He might get mistaken for Goldberg. Goldberg got highly offended to Stone Cold's face. He's like, hey, man, I worked out way more. I looked way more jacked. And Stone Cold's like, you're just crapping all over me right now, like on the podcast. So my point is you look at Stone Cold, especially with he was the ringmaster and then whatever else he was, just awful gimmicks. And then he finally was like, Vince, I got to be me. You got to give me the mic. Stop cutting my promo time. Let me be me, because if you do, that's how I'll break through. And he had that belief, and then he did. So my point is, if that's not your goal as an offensive lineman to win the Outland, to win the Lombardi, to win the Joe Moorhead Award, and you don't have a belief in some way, shape, or form that you can do it, you're never going to reach your full potential. And I don't want to say you're in the wrong business, but you might be in the wrong business. Okay, whatever you're doing, your desire should be to be the best. Now, everybody's different. Everybody's goals are different. I'm totally cool with that. I'm not going to lie. I tend to butt heads with people sometimes because I don't get involved in a lot of things. But when I do, I don't understand 85%. I don't understand 90% or 95%. I'm either all in or I'm all out, which is why I don't tend to get involved in a lot of things. Because when I get involved in something, I'm all in. And I tend to get irritated by people who aren't. I just do. That's how I operate. And so when Rocco says something like that, I'm like, hey, that's awesome. That's the correct mindset. And Ja'Cory Barney actually said he plans on, let's see, I got it here in front of me. I want to get the exact quote, although I'm going the wrong way with my notes. All right, here it is. I'm going, and I quote, I'm going to lead the nation in punt returns this year, end quote. Talking about punt return yards. I said punt and kick return. Hopefully he does both. That'd be great. That's Eckler's decision. But I love that mentality. Whether it happens or not, we'll see. But I love that mentality, because if that's not your mentality, I'm not going to understand 85% or 90% or even 95%. That's just me. That's just my mentality. So I get it. I understand it. Any final thoughts, anything else from the text line before we move on? I do have one final thought of my own. But before we do move on, what do you got there, Jake, if anything?
Yeah, no, I like that kind of aim small, miss small. If you're not the best, and, you know, hopefully among the best. I want to just kind of ask you, though, because you've gone from team to team, you know, certainly in the NFL, and, you know, that's a different level. But I guess when you go from team to team, unless it's like god awful, even you can tell that in practice. Can you tell before you play an opposing team where like the offensive line or you know, the defensive line is? I mean, how accurate, I guess, could you be in predicting that sort of thing?
That is a phenomenal question. And it's not one that I have heard or seen raised. Because when I say something like the offensive line looks great in practice, the offensive line isn't going against themselves. They're going against the defensive line. So does that mean the defensive line doesn't look good? And I'm not saying the defensive line doesn't look good, because Riley Van Poppel is one of only two guys along with Dane Key who've gotten a single-digit number so far. And he's a guy that's been talked about by multiple people along with Cam Lenhart. So, and Rule has said, of the things that keep him up at night, by the way, the follow-up question should have been, what's the things that keep you up at night? But he goes, of the things that keep me up at night, it's not the defensive line. To answer your question directly, it's hard because you're going against yourself. And until a defensive line is going against a different offensive line, it's hard to tell. And an offensive line going against another team's defensive line, it's hard to tell. Because if you look really good as one unit, does that mean the other unit is not as good? Or does that mean you're really, really good and maybe they're just above average, but you make them look worse? Or maybe vice versa, it's hard to tell. Plus, some guys are out of practice sometimes. So you might have a day where you got two or three guys who are on the second team because you got guys on the first team beat up, but they're playing with the first team going against, you know, maybe the defensive line's first team is all out there. They're all healthy. So that can skew things sometimes. So sometimes it's hard to get a true gauge, which is why I say you don't really know until you go play somebody else. And you do get to learn those things more in the NFL because now there's joint practices. Now there's preseason games. Of course, preseason games are not always the best indicator at all. I remember the Colts would go like 0-4 every year. Then they were in the Super Bowl. So back during the Manning era, I would say joint practices will give you more of an indicator than anything else. I do have one final thought. We're going to go to break because I think you make an interesting point about the offensive tackle position. But we will discuss that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We shall return.